This is Friends Who Talk About Money from John Hancock, a show where we take on the money taboo and celebrate the power of financial conversations in all their honest, awkward, and inspirational glory. I'm your host, Claire Wasserman, writer, career coach, and financial advocate. We gain so much from friendship, love, laughter, sanity, and even financial benefits. But sometimes it can be tough to have that first money talk. So, how do you address the financial elephant in the room? On today's episode, we're inviting former coworkers who started their careers together but have since taken different paths. We'll dive in into how their close friendship and candid conversations have helped them navigate their personal lives, their careers, and their finances. You'll also hear from Carrie Ann Keenan, career and professional development coach, about how to strategically navigate career changes, increase confidence, and find successful and fulfilling work. Time to talk money. Hi, Karina and Dorothy. Thank you so much for being part of this.
Thank you for having us, Claire.
Thank you.
So I just love to start with each of you, if you want to state your age, where you are living right now, your location, and what you do for a living. So Dorothy, I'll start with you.
I am 43 years old. I just turned 43 like a couple weeks ago. I live in Durham, North Carolina, and I am currently a clinical professor at North Carolina Central University School of Law, and I still do practice a little bit as a licensed attorney as well.
And I'm Karina. I'm also 43. I live in Durham, North Carolina as well. I am an attorney with my own law firm. I practice in the areas of bankruptcy, employment, and entertainment law.
How'd you guys meet?
So we met in law school, actually. Karina was a year ahead of me in law school, so she was there a year before I got there.
That's great. And so talk to me a little bit about both of your decisions to follow law after college.
I initially went to undergrad to eventually become a lawyer, but I ended up working at the law school as a work-study student in the dean's office. And working there, I would see these law students come in, and they would be so stressed out, like really, just really stressed out to the point where I just said, you know what? I don't think this is for me. These people, they look overwhelmed. And so as I went through school, I had a couple of bad semesters, and it just really didn't look like law was going to be a reality for me. So I decided to kind of back off. And towards the end of my undergraduate career, I prayed and asked the Lord, you know, what should I do? And he said, well, I want you to go into law. And I said, well, I don't want to be in the courtroom. And God said, entertainment law. And I said, what's that?
Right.
So I started researching entertainment law. I connected with an agent who told me a few things about the business, tried to discourage me from going into that field, but connected me with even more resources. So I went to law school, and from there I began, or my journey started to realize this dream of practicing entertainment law.
I actually have been interested in becoming a lawyer since I was a little girl. And it started out because I was a huge, well, I would say still am, a huge daddy's girl. And so my dad was a single parent raising me and my older brother for quite some time. And so anything that my daddy was interested in, he wanted to do anything. I wanted to do it, and I was interested in it just because my daddy was. And so he always wanted to go to law school and never had a chance to do that. He did get a degree in criminal justice. And so me and my brother would go to class with him when he was in college and all of that good stuff. And then so he put me in all kinds of programs, you know, just mock juries and mock trials and shadowing judges and lawyers in our area where we lived at and all of that good stuff. And so I genuinely became interested in pursuing a career in law myself. And it wasn't just I wanted to do it because my daddy wanted to, right? And so I actually have worked in a law firm since I was 16 years old.
So I heard that you both shared an office space. So how did that come about?
As soon as I passed the bar, I opened up my own law office. That was not the original plan, but it worked out that way where I left the law firm that I was working at prior to becoming licensed and started my own practice until I could find a job. So that was the plan. Right. I stayed in my practice for, I think it was about a year, maybe, when Dorothy decided to leave the firm that she was working at and asked me if I would want to share office space together. And I was a little bit hesitant because having a roommate before, and mm-hmm. when you share office space together, you're essentially roommates. And so yep. I had a roommate before, and the relationship started out well, but then soured. And so I didn't want that to happen with Dorothy and I, but she convinced me that it would be a good idea and a good opportunity for us to grow, mm-hmm. you know, in our businesses. And she was right. She was absolutely correct.
She was looking to upgrade in some way and expand her own office in some way. And so I used that as my way to get in. Like, you're looking for more space anyway. And if we do it together, you can get better space and more space and all of that. And so that's how we ended up. And we, even though we shared office space, we were still two separate entities as far as we ran our own law practices, but we shared the office space. And so there were certain things that we shared, like we shared the office rent. And, you know, if we got things for the office, like a copier, and we also shared some staff, like our receptionist, we shared, but we both had our own paralegal and, you know, just different things that we may have had in our individual offices. Those were just our own responsibility, but it was one of the best experiences that I have ever had.
You mentioned to me earlier about having meetings in the middle. Can you talk a bit about that?
So when we were in our office together, our offices were situated where we were in different areas of the office, but we had this huge open area. Well, when we first opened the office, because we made quite a few changes physically in the office, but in the beginning, we had this big open space in the middle. And all our offices were kind of like on the exterior of that middle space.
And then she'd say, hey, I need a meeting in the middle. And so, right. Then we'd come together. It might be that we need to troubleshoot legal issues on a case. It might be about what's going on at the courthouse. It mm-hmm. might be who's running for a position or a judge seat or just anything, a right. dilemma, anything. And we would have a meeting in the middle and it would be so much fun. And I would leave work and not having got anything done because I spent my afternoon meeting in the middle and I'd have to go home and stay up all night
right.
to do my work. We were definitely an example of iron sharpening iron. You know, I grew a lot from sharing office space with Dorothy. She always calls me her big sister, mm-hmm. but I learned a whole lot from Dorothy, just about business, about customer service, about money.
Yeah, we learned a lot from each other, Corinne, because I know that, you know, there's times where I wouldn't be so willing to go out on that edge. And, you know, you're more that person to take that risk than I am. And so I learned a lot in that way, too.
Yeah. I mean, if you think about any relationship, whether it's, you know, personal or professional or, you know, roommates, I mean, money has to be part of the conversation at some point.
Absolutely.
For mm-hmm. you, I mean, do you have memories of the first times or maybe the significant times where you did have discussions around money, and were any of those conversations difficult to have?
Yes.
We had to, before we moved in together, we had to have that conversation about mm-hmm. money. We had to make sure that we had a budget and, you know, I did the research and looked at it and said, you know, this is what this is going to cost us. This is what the phone bill, you know, I did the research because I believe I initially had the telephone account and I switched it over to that. Right. The new location. So I did all the research. I ran all the numbers and I told her this is what we're going to need collectively to share office space together. So the beginning of our, you know, I guess you could say professional relationship was that of a discussion on money.
I really depended on her for a lot of that knowledge and information. And whatever she said was, you know, this is what the budget should look like. I trusted that was the case. And we just did it, you know. Now, when we later on, we started having conversations, some of those, I wouldn't even say those were difficult. Maybe they were difficult on Karina's end because I feel like I probably was the hard-nosed one and said, you know, I think of an example, like we were thinking about getting a copier machine. And I am the type of person that says, if we can't pay for it outright, pay for it just outright, we don't need to get it. And Corinne is like, well, no, we could get this large one and we could give copy so many pages at a time and kick out this one. And I'm like, I don't really care. Like, I don't want to hear that. You know, we could just use these little small ones that's in the office. She now has the name of Queen C because everything was just so grand and just fabulous and, you know, all of that. Whereas I think I'm more simple and just, you know, give me the basics and I'm good with that. But a lot of where her ideas were, I remember a time when she said, we should get this billboard on the highway. And it could, I mean, it was just like all this stuff. And I was like, no, like, we don't need that. I'm trying to see where how that's going to help us in some way. So, you know, we would have those kind of conversations because we're so on the different ends of how we view, you know, money and how we would want to make that kind of those things work.
Dorothy was very conservative when it came to business expenses, very conservative. Whereas I was, like she said, the big vision person. Like, I'm like, oh, vision,
right?
You know, and vision costs money. So, yeah, so we had definitely had different approaches, but it worked.
Right.
It worked.
For sure.
Where do you think that risk-taking comes from for you, Karina?
I don't know. I think maybe it is because of the vision. And I know that in order to meet goals, that you are going to have to take risks. If you're at point A and you want to get to point Z, there's a lot of steps in between, but sometimes it's not always smooth. You know, if you think of one of those, you ever seen those like stone, I don't know what they're called. Sometimes you have those stone plates in the ground or on soft ground and it mm-hmm. leads you to like a creek or it leads you to an area maybe in the woods or something. You know, it's not always smooth. Sometimes some of them may be broken. Some of them may be further apart from each other. And occasionally you're going to have to jump or leap to the other stone to keep That's from cool. getting your feet muddy, you know.
Great analogy, Karina.
I have to ask, billboard, did it happen?
Not yet. It has not happened yet.
She's still like working on it.
So your career started to diverge. Any of those job changes that you've had, have they been financially driven in any way?
For me, they weren't. The position that I'm in now, I never imagined I would actually teach full time. I've never taken a position because of the money. And quite frankly, I didn't pay attention to the salary as much as I probably should have, just because I'm getting older and I need to start thinking about things like that and being more strategic when it comes to, you know, that whole package. But my drive has always been, how am I going to help people? What is the impact that I'll be able to have? And that's what's been more of a motivation for me. And the money has always been great. And it's been, you know, I've never had to struggle. So it always worked out well when I didn't think about money in that way.
What about you, Karina?
For me, the decision to stay in practice was not financially motivated. It was motivated by me trying to live out my purpose and figure out what my dream was. I had fallen in and out of love with the law so many times over the years. And I think the thing that kept me doing the type of law that I was doing was the fact that I enjoyed, truly, truly enjoyed working alongside Dorothy. You know, mm-hmm. I enjoyed that more than, like, I really did not enjoy practicing the type of law that I was practicing. And it would just frustrate me. And it seemed as if I couldn't get around it. And so mm-hmm. eventually I was able to discover this career in entertainment, something that I was told that I was naturally good at. It wasn't something that I had to work at with the law. I had to work really, really, really hard at it. And I do a really good job. Mm-hmm. So everything that I've done in my business, me staying in private practice, the direction that I've taken my business is all motivated by supporting that dream, supporting that goal. And by doing that, my practice, I'm much happier. I've limited it to practicing in those areas and serving those clients that I really want to work with. And so I'm much happier because at the end of the day, I'm a nurturer. I like to see people grow. Right. I like to help people like Dorothy, you know. So money has never been my driver. People has always been my driver.
Right.
You know, thinking about milestones in our lives, in our careers, you know, whether it's making a decision to leave a job or getting married or buying a house, you know, for you, for your lives, do you all counsel each other on money, you know, when you are gearing up to make some big decision or change? You know, how does money factor into those conversations between the two of you?
Absolutely. Because we've known each other for so long and because we are in the same field and we've had a lot of the same experiences, you know, who better to turn to than someone who's already been there? And so oftentimes I've gone to Dorothy, you know, I recently purchased a home and she had gone through that process or a similar process not too long before that. Mm-hmm. And she's the one that encouraged me to move forward with it. She told me what I needed to do. She told me some things that I needed to prepare for. And she, you know, when I told her what I was looking at, she said, you know, I remember being so afraid to like even go to the mortgage broker. And,
right.
And she said, Karina, trust me, you're going to qualify for a lot more than you think that yep. you would qualify for. And she was absolutely correct. In fact, we qualified for so much more than what I was comfortable with paying every month. So we ended up purchasing something that was a lot less than what we qualified for, but she was absolutely correct. And so just things like that, you know, discussions like that, that I feel comfortable having with her mm-hmm. that I wouldn't have with some of my other friends. I wouldn't go that deep with some of them.
That's true. And I remember when I left from the public defender's office and was looking at going to the law school full time. And we were in kind of in our negotiations with my contract and all of that. You know, I would talk to Karina and say, really, quite frankly, what am I supposed to look at? And, you know, because I really never thought about money and, you know, the salary and that, like I said, that wasn't my motivating factor. So because I hadn't paid so much, put so much focus on that, I didn't even know what I should do in the negotiations and how I should counter back and all of that. And Karina is like phenomenal at all of that. So I went to her and was asking her for advice on how to go about that. And you know, what should I ask for and how should I say it? And you know, all of that good stuff. And I, like she said, I wouldn't speak to anybody else about that kind of stuff. Because even though that's not my motivating factor, that's also not something that I would want to just share with any and everybody either. But I remember, like she said, early on in our marriages, you know, we learned really quickly that I'm more, her and her husband and I are more alike, and she and my husband are more alike. So we kind of would be like the sounding board for each other to help, as she had put it so well before, she would be the one of the voice of reason and speaking up for my husband to help me understand kind of his perspective on things. And I would be the one to speak up and help her understand her husband's perspective. And as it particularly relates to money and finances, you know, her husband and I are more alike in that, well, in some ways, yeah. I would say Karina, in some ways we're more like, we're frugal and we're like, we're not doing it. That doesn't make any sense. You know what I mean?
Right.
Where she and my husband are like, well, if it's on sale, we need to just get all of it. You know what I mean? We can just stack it up. Or, you know, let's just, you know, kind of making, you know, impulse purchases and things like that. And I'm not that way. And I don't, you know, so I think that we've had very good in-depth conversations about that. And it's really good to have somebody that you can depend on for that.
Absolutely. You know, Dorothy, she's very frugal, but there are some things that she believes is worth the investment, you know, like technology, you know, those types of things.
How do you bridge the gap? I mean, that's the thing. It's like wonderful to have different approaches if you can find common ground. Mm-hmm. Has there been a time where, you know, either that was difficult to get to or maybe you did get to it, but how, you know, how do you meet in the middle?
It just naturally happens with us, you know, like yeah. Because we know each other so well and it's, you know, she knows that if I ask Dorothy for us to do something together, I'm going to have to give her every little detail and how it's going to make, how it makes sense now and how it makes sense down the road and, you know, all of that. And then I know that if I want to get Karina with something, I got to give her the big picture first and then give all the details. You know what I mean? Give her like the big vision, like, oh, it's going to be so great, Karina. You just don't even know the half. Like, this is going to make you look so much better. And then, you know, and then back it up with all the little details where, you know, so it's just, I think for us, it's more of the approach than it is to get pull the other one to the middle.
What are some money conversations that you are having now or that you can foresee having looking forward into, you know, the next steps of both of your lives?
We talk about money a lot, actually. Like if Karina tells me, like just this weekend, we saw each other and we talked about different things she wants to get, she needs for her patio, her deck.
Dorothy helped me solve my patio furniture dilemma. I wanted to get one thing and my husband didn't see the point, again, in spending money on it. So the opportunity to get the one that he and I both liked went away. And I told Dorothy how upset I was. Mm-hmm. And instead of getting on the bandwagon with me about how upset she would be with him, she said, well, why don't you look at this place? Or why don't mm-hmm. you look at this store? And this place has things. And, you know, I got mine from this store and mm-hmm. this is what I got. And why don't you go look at it?
Right. And we've had conversations about, you know, savings and, you know, whether we should have savings and planning for our children's college funds and, you know, retirements and just because we're getting older. And so those are things that yeah. are, you know, super important as we progress through the years, things like that.
Is there one financial lesson that you've learned from the other person? I mean, I know there's many. I know you bring different mindsets, but if you could maybe distill it down to one big thing, you know, what have you learned from the other person when it comes to money?
I've learned from Dorothy, plan for the future. Financially, plan for the future.
I would say that what I've learned from Karina is it's okay to take a risk. You know, it's not, I don't have to see the end right now in order for me to jump into it. I can, you know, take that risk, have that faith and jump, you know, it's okay.
I am so excited to welcome Carrie-Anne Keenan to the show. She is a career and professional development coach who founded Life Worksource to educate, support, and empower people to pursue meaningful careers and lives. Thanks so much, Carrie-Anne, for being here with us.
Hi, Claire. Thanks so much for having me. I'm really excited.
Okay, so Karina and Dorothy clearly have different approaches and styles regarding their careers and finances, yet they were able to work well together. What advice do you give people about how to work with others who have vastly different work styles or personalities and who aren't your best friend with years of trust and love and respect already developed?
So if you think about it, we all have these different tendencies and preferences, and we're putting them all together in a workspace where we spend, you know, sometimes more time with these folks than we do our own families and friends, right? So I think it's about, there are a few things that could help shift our mindset when it comes to working with people that are very different from us. You know, they were clearly able to do that because they had built all of that relationship in advance. But things like recognizing that there are ways besides your own that work. So observing, you know, some other people's different styles and tendencies in the workplace and maybe learning from them, right? You know, so being open for that. And then I think there's also a lot to say about appreciating that diversity in the workplace, diversity of perspective, leads to more innovative, rich output, right? So we have to communicate about it. You know, so they recognize they had these different styles in terms of looking forward, right? So we have the big picture versus the detail. This is very common and it can cause clashes at work, but it can also cause this really well-informed, comprehensive planning process because you're covering all the bases. But knowing that it exists and talking about it and figuring out how can we, you know, kind of meet together in the middle to make the best possible outcome happen, that's that's what's key in here.
Okay, so what I'm basically understanding from you is that different personalities and approaches to money, it's really an opportunity to learn from each other. And I got that from Karina and Dorothy, you know, their approach to each other's personal style and success. So I'm curious, how important are these kinds of mutual mentorships in the workplace? And how do you think people can find them?
Yeah, so mutual mentorships are so important, right? As we're navigating these really hard, whether it's a financial decision, like they talked about, also career decisions together, because we're going to go through so many different stages within our careers and so many hurdles, right? And so having that support and sounding board and like we talked about, learning from each other's perspectives can be so helpful. We can learn things that we've just not been exposed to. And as you know, Claire, having done this through Ladies Get Paid, I do an entire workshop on mentors specifically for women, because women in our culture are not taught or socialized, most of them, to find mentors or, you know, to build these giant professional networks or self-advocate in the workplace. So it can be people at work, it can be friends, it can be colleagues. It can be someone that you meet up at a kickball tournament. Like, it can be anybody. So it tends to happen kind of naturally, because it usually occurs when you're connecting with people over some shared interest or value or experience, or, you know, maybe you have similar identity characteristics. So we might already have them. And if you don't, then, you know, maybe make a list of people that you admire and you have something in common with, someone that you would love to be swapping advice and perspective with, right? And just approach them.
I love that. Two things I actually want to add to that is, first of all, mentorship does not have to mean the other person's a lot older. Sometimes it's good to get the perspective of somebody who's either on your level or a little bit ahead, because I think they'll have a better understanding of where you're coming from. So don't feel like you have to put a lot of pressure on this. And the other thing I just want to mention is that you don't have to get on bended knee and ask them to officially be my mentor, right? Because sometimes that can put some pressure on them that they feel like they have to now give a lot of time or effort. For Karina and Dorothy, I mean, they really were comfortable talking about money and careers. And, you know, this is a podcast meant to get people to basically follow the example of Karina and Dorothy. I mean, they learned so much from each other, you know, and just got the perspective that's needed. I mean, we're essentially too close to ourselves. So I thought it was just wonderful to see how they riffed off of each other, how they pushed one another. So how does somebody who's listening to this, you know, who wants to get comfortable having these kinds of conversations, you know, how do they challenge themselves to get to that place?
Yeah, it's a lot of work and time again, right? And I do think it takes intentionality and self-reflection and knowing about yourself and where you, what areas in your life you might need support and advice. And then I think it's a matter of finding people that you trust and who trust you. You feel safe and can be judgment-free with them. So again, it could be friends, it could be family, it could be coworkers, it could be someone you met on LinkedIn, and you build up a good rapport with them and you have that back and forth. We need to be talking about our career aspirations and interests and all these things. And then on the finance side, you know, talking about finances is so important. And I'll say again, particularly for women who have historically been left out of these kinds of conversations, the more educated people are about money matters, the more informed we'll all be about managing our finances. And then the more transparent we are too about things like salary, the more we can help close the gender pay gap. So I would say, don't be afraid to ask questions. Don't be afraid to ask for help, to introduce yourself to people. Find people you feel comfortable with having those authentic conversations with, because some of this can feel kind of vulnerable.
One piece of advice I would give to everybody is call out the elephant in the room. So if you're going to start having conversations around money with your friends and your family, you can absolutely start by saying, hey, I know this can be an awkward conversation, or I feel a little uncomfortable you're talking about money, but I know that we can make more, right? We can make more money if we have a dialogue about it, if we make this a topic that's not so taboo. So oftentimes, you know, if there's something you're nervous to talk about, well, usually it means you should talk about it. But the other thing is you can kind of place it within context and to not be afraid to call yourself out as somebody, you know, who's feeling vulnerable, because chances are, to your point, you know, the other person will go, yep, I'm right there with you.
Exactly. Yes.
Thanks so much, Carrie Ann. We are really happy that we got you on.
Thank you. Thank you for having me and for having these kinds of important conversations and putting this out into the world, because it's, we have to start somewhere. So the more we can normalize these things, the better. So thank you so much.
A big thanks to Karina and Dorothy for giving us a taste of their meetings in the middle, and to Carrie Ann for coaching us through career challenges and inspiring professional growth. Let this be inspiration to have money talks with close friends and coworkers in your own life. Celebrate your financial differences and learn from each other. You may find that communicating about money strengthens your relationships. And remember, money between friends doesn't have to be awkward. Make sure to subscribe to Friends Who Talk About Money to get new episodes dropping every 2 weeks.
The views and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the speakers at the time of recording and are subject to change as market and other conditions warrant. This podcast is for informational purposes only and is not intended to be, nor shall it be interpreted or construed as, a recommendation or providing advice, impartial or otherwise, regarding any specific product or security.